Look into your word. We pray that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened today afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The believers, they ask Jesus, help us, teach us how to pray. Lord, the secret to prevailing prayer, let it be revealed unto us today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The level of answers, the level of blessing, the level of success that we have been commanding in our prayer lives before, let it go to another higher realm in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, let fresh oil be released into our prayer altars in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let your name be glorified, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Best side for Jesus. For the King of Kings. For the Lord of Lords. For the great I am. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember the prophetic focus for the month? It says, my God answers prayer. Say, my God answers prayer. This month, the Lord will answer your prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that this is the confidence that we have, that if we pray according to his will, he answers us. Prayers are meant to be answered. Hello? Prayers are meant to be answered. Prayer time is not play time. Time investment, invested in prayer is not a wasted time. As a matter of fact, you can never, never, ever go higher than your prayer life in this kingdom. Hello? You can never, ever, ever go higher in this kingdom than the level of your prayer life. And so, Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, man ought to pray and ceaseth not. To pray always. How many times?
Always.
Always. Maybe all your way. In the train, in the car, in the house, in the toilet, everywhere. Hello? Thank God that he did not tell us, especially in this New Testament day, that you have to go to a particular spot before you can pray. And so, every place where you can see air or where there is life is a place of prayer. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And so, we should take it with all level of seriousness. Pray without ceasing. And so, I'll be sharing with us the subject I've captioned, the prevailing prayer, part one. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's go back to that scripture we read at the time of prayer, which is also our focus scripture for the month. Jeremiah. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 29. He said in verse 11. Let's start from verse 10 to get the context. He said, for thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord said, I will visit you.
Amen.
And I will perform my good words towards you.
Amen.
In causing you to return to this place. Talking about restoration. You know, when they are trying to describe this servant of God, Jeremiah, they call him the weeping prophet. Because he was called upon to minister to Israel at a time when Israel was going towards the other side. Ungodliness was the order of the day. People were not interested in the things of God at that time. And so, because of his passion, because of his love for God and his kingdom and his people, this prophet was moving from place to place, asking them to return to God, asking them to serve God, asking them to know, to understand the fact that there is no any other way to go to the highest place, to the highest of highest place. without the help of God. And the Lord said there that for those of the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, Babylon signifies the place of slavery. Babylon signifies the place of lack and want. Babylon signifies place of challenge, place of struggle without result. And the Lord said, I, the Lord God Almighty, will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Now, he said, why? Why will I do that? Because my plan, my purpose, my counsel, my original purpose for you. Thank you, Jesus. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, said the Lord. The thought of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So God was telling them that no matter what has happened, you know, God is unchangeable. Hello? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, his love for man has not changed. You remember that even in the book of in Genesis chapter 3, when man fell, when man messed up, when he broke, when he committed treason, he joined with the devil to rebel against God. You remember that God is omniscient, omniscient God. He knows everything. He knew that they already ate, they partook of that forbidden fruit. You know, if it was in the natural, if it was a man, thank God, God is not man. He wouldn't even have anything to leave his throne and come to visit them. Because with just a word, he can say, man, cease to exist now. Right from heaven. Hello? But God in his mercy, he still came down. Bible says he came down in the cool of the day to visit them. Where did he come? He came because he loved them unconditionally. So love departs from heaven and he came down to their place and said, ah, my son, what have you done? Why did you do this? He came to rescue them. Why? Because his plan, his purpose for them is good, not of bad, to give them a future, an expected end. Thank you, Jesus. But here he said, even though that's my plan for you, but it will not just happen. Because God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God will not do anything that is contrary or against his word. Hello? In fact, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that this is the confidence that we have. That if we pray according to his will or according to his word, he answered us. And so, when you are praying, for example, the main tool that you need, the main weapon that you need is the understanding of the word. That's why when you are praying, don't pray and close your Bible. And those laws cannot be compromised. God cannot change. God will not change. He said, before he can answer, you have to call on him. You have to pray unto him. Why is it necessary for us to pray? Hello? Let's go to the scripture now. Again, in Genesis chapter 26. Hallelujah. Genesis 26. Can't get it on the screen today, so we have to try as much as possible to open it maybe on our phone or directly on our Bibles. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read from here to save our time. Genesis chapter 20, chapter 1 and verse 26. He said, and God said, let us make man in our image. Remember, we said it again and again, and I think I've read babies in this church, you even understand the fact that God lives in heaven and he had a plan to extend his domain onto a place, and therefore he created people or human being or mankind in his image. Hello? And he created the domain, the physical domain called earth, to put his children, and he created them in his own image. And while creating them, he said, and Bible said, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, And let them, say let them.
Let
mankind have dominion. What is dominion? Dominion talking about authority. He said, let man have authority over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let man have authority over the earth. Not the angels. Hello? He even excluded himself willingly because they are his children. It's just like when you buy a car for your son. Do you say okay? I mean, if I find that is big enough, do you say okay? If I want to go to party, I say okay. Oh, my son, please can I borrow your car? Even in your mouth, or you buy something for your for your son. You can't just go and be borrowing it. And so he seeded. Yeah, I think that's the right word. He ceded this domain called earth unto the man. And he said, man, you are the one that will be in control over this place. And that is why every being apart from man does not have a legal authority over the earth. And that is why you can say to a demon to get out. Because the Lord that created this earth does not give a demon the authority over him. You know, revelation is the cure for frustration. If you don't understand this one, you know, some people, when they are trying to deal with demon, they are casting demon, they will be being as if they are begging. You're not supposed to beg it. No. You have authority here. You have power to back up that authority. God has given you the right and the might to exercise that dominion here on earth. Thank you, Jesus. And as a result of, and because of that, every other being does not have right to come and do anything here. You remember that even when the devil wanted to come and invade this place, he needed the body. He couldn't do it on his own. Even when God wanted to come here to save man, did he come directly by himself? No. He needed the body of a man. And so Jesus came. Thank you, Jesus. So, he gave him dominion. He gave him authority over the earth. And in verse 28, he said, God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, the earth is a loss. No doubt about that. He gave it to his children called the mankind. So it is your right. See, I want you to live with that reality. Live with that consciousness that without being told, you know, when you know something enough, when you know it enough, you don't have, no, you know, somebody doesn't need to encourage you. You just know that you know that you know that you know that you know that God, you have God-given authority or God-given right to have dominion here on earth. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalm 24, the Bible said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in therein. Remember, we are saying why prayer? Why do we need to pray? Are you following it now? The Bible said that in Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord. So God's own it, but he ceded it to man. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you cede a place, a territory to a person, that person has the right. Remember when Nigeria was fighting with Cameroon over Bakassi? And they said, oh, no. It's our land. The people there say, yes, we are Nigerians. They say, yes, you are Nigerians. But the issue of legality is stronger than morality. By moral judgment, we know they are Nigerian. But Nigeria said, no, we have military power. We are going to invade the place and capture you. They say, okay, yes. Cameroon say, okay, no problem. Let's go to court. And in the court, they tender the document that showed that Nigeria ceded the place officially and legally to Cameroon. And the panel of judges said, well, based on the evidence before us in this court of law, Bakassi belonged to Cameroon. Nigeria said, but just like Esau,
You sign the document. Esau ceded his birthright to Jacob. But in this case, in a positive way, God ceded this earth to man. And therefore, God will never do anything here on earth without what? Passing through man. Because it's a just God. Do you get it now? In Psalms 115, verse 16, the Bible said, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to whom? To the children of men. Hello? Not to the aliens. Don't forget about all those aliens they talk about on the TV. No. No demons have any right here. Hallelujah. No demons have any right to have dominion on this place. No. This place was manufactured, was created for man, and the Most High pronounced that judgment and said, earth belongs to man. Thank you, Jesus. You remember in Genesis 26, that was where he said it before he said, and let mankind have dominion. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm trying to say is that because of that, God always required man to call for his help anytime there is a need here or there. And that is why prayer can easily be defined. Of course, we have many, many definitions for prayer. But in this context, prayer is giving earthly license for heavenly intervention. Prayer is calling for heaven, calling for help from heaven. Say, hey, heaven, please come and help. Oh, hello. You know, if you buy your Toyota or Volvo or whatever car from the factory and you take it to your house, can the factory go and put anything in the engine or remove anything from the car without your consent? That would be illegal. Hello? It will be illegal. And therefore, but if you need help, maybe you try to start it and he's doing, I say, oh, what do we do? You call for help. And so when you call for help, the factory or the dealer will send a rescue car, isn't it? They will lift your car to their workshop and open it and fix it. And so prayer is calling heaven. I say, hey, heaven, the product that you have packaged, this human being, he has help. I say, hey, now you are calling. And heaven will then invade the body and fix it. And so prayer is calling for help from God. But you need to license heaven to do that. Thank you, Jesus Christ. In the book of Philemon is just one chapter in verse 14. I think we've read this one many times here. Philemon chapter 1, there's only one chapter in verse 14 of it, said, but without thy consent, I was willing to do nothing, that your good should not be of necessity, but willingly. And so, God will never do anything in your life without your approval. That's why you need faith anyway. Because faith is believing God. Hello? Hi. Are we getting anything from this? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
So what I'm trying to say is that the picture I'm trying to paint is that God needs your approval before he can do things in your life. And the only way you handed over that authority to him is through prayer. By calling and saying, Lord, I need your help. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus speaking, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, that's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. He already laid his life. He died the worst death that can ever be. Because of you. But he still said he will never enter your heart until you call him. That's why nobody will go to hell because of the sin that he committed per se. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, he became sin for us. All the sins of the entire world, those that were born, those that were not yet born, were heaped on him. And he paid the price for him. But people will die and go to hell because they refuse to accept. Do you see the difference now? Because they refuse to call him to come for his help. And that's why he said that, I will come when you call me. I will come when you open the door. God cannot invade your life. It's not that he cannot get crushed. You have to call him. And how do you call him? You pray. You call on him. You don't watch what you don't want. Hello? You see a situation. What would have happened to Hannah if she didn't pray? You know, she was going to Shiloh every year. It's a yearly event. Maybe she was going religiously before. Say, hey, it's time to go. Let's cook rice. Let's go. Let's go. She was going for religious reason. But when she got that revelation that Shiloh is a place of encounter, say, no, I won't go back this year, the way I did last year. Something must happen, Lord. And the Bible said, she poured out her heart and said, oh God, oh God. What would have happened to David? To Jacob? Jacob would have died as a non-entity. Even though he was set apart to be the one that will inherit that blessing. But he would have died as a non-entity if he didn't cry to God and say, oh God of heaven, you must bless me. I won't let you go until you bless me. And heaven say, yes, you're talking. You have allowed me to invade the camp and destroy your enemy. Jabez was a seed of Abraham, had the right to Abrahamic blessing. Bible said, when God was speaking to Abraham, he said, you shall be blessed and you'll be a blessing. But that thing was not reflected in his life. Every time they remember him, they only remember him for sorrow. But he said, no! Oh God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, bless me indeed. Let this sorrow not pierce me anymore. Say, okay, now you're talking. And the angels were released to carry it out. I see angels of God being released to carry out your expectation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every of your help will come speedily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But it is a time to pray. Let me tell you, brethren, have you ever noticed that there are some days that you didn't plan to fast, but you are so busy that you hardly have time to eat. But when you start at that time to fast that day, when is it 12 o'clock? It will be like, see, somebody is, maybe your children is playing with the time, it's rolling in the back. Say, time is slow. Why? Because there's a resistance. The wicked one that is trying to tie you down, he doesn't want to let go. And so he wants to deceive you, he wants to resist you, so that you will not do what will make you to set to be free. But as the Lord liveth, every devil that is trying to tie you down, the judgment ask of God fall upon that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have seen examples of nations being rescued as a result of fire on the altar of prayer. As a matter of fact, there has never been any genuine revival in any time, in any nation, that was not preceded by prayer. We've been talking about going out to reach out for souls. Brethren, we need to fasten our belts. That's the truth. Because the one that you are trying to knock his head to rescue souls from his hand, he's not going to put his hand in his pocket and watch you. Hello? You pray. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus was speaking. Jesus was speaking. He said, and now in Matthew 16:19, he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Saying that heaven, which is headquarters, we agree with whatever you decree. So when you say, okay, this my career is over with it, heaven doesn't have a choice. You say, okay, well, he has said it, that his office, his company is going down the drain. At that point, heaven cannot go and say, no, he must not go there. No. He never wanted to say, no, I refuse. Remember when Paul was stoned? They dragged him outside the city. Say, okay, yeah, he's dead. He's dead. Let his people. But he refused to give up. Hello? He refused to give up. Why do I busy trying to say, don't finish for him?
He woke up and came back to them. Maybe they thought to me it was even a ghost. Remember when Peter and James? When they were locked in prison, did the people say, oh, I made trouble? And you know, to make it worse, Herod, he sees one of them. No, I think it was Paul and Silas, they were locked, but it was Peter initially. Peter and who was locked that time? When they interceded for them. Oh yeah, he arrested Peter, he arrested James. And he called for James. He cut off his head. And so he said, we cannot just continue to watch this, you know. They started praying, remember? They were interceding and praying for Peter. And while they were praying for Peter, the Lord sent angels to the prison to open the place, remember? And when Peter, in fact, they were still praying when Peter knocked the door. And we said, see, no, go and check who's knocking at the door. Because you are afraid, they say, hey, maybe these people are, they are coming to arrest us. It was Peter that showed up. The Bible said it was a small girl that went to open the door. Say, ah. So when he came to them, say, hey, it was Peter. Oh, they said, no, it's his ghost. They said, maybe they have killed him. But it's good that showed up. Hello? What would have happened if they didn't pray for Peter? Would have killed him. Hello? Because Bible made us understand that angels are ministering spirits that were sent to minister to the ears of salvation. Angels had to be activated. They cannot work until you activate them. Hello? I think one of these days we should look at that ministry of angels again and explain it to us. The ministry of angels requires that you activate them. Hello? Any angel that gets crashed into your life without you activating him is a demon. You need to activate them. And that's why you have to be careful when things happen. Especially suddenly. Don't say, hey, I'm dead. No, you are binding the angel. You won't allow him to walk. If you don't know what to say in any situation, just say Jesus. That name alone is evil. It's big enough to release angels to favor you. Hello? If something happens suddenly, because a lot of time, the most of the time where we make mistakes is when things happen suddenly and we don't have enough time to think. Just like to say, Jesus, that name is not. The name is a legal tender in every realm of existence. And therefore, angels will be released. I see angels being released to rescue you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe there are some fires that belong to you that somebody is sitting upon it. I see the angels of God removing that person forcefully in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even if he doesn't want to go for semester, he will be forced to go for space in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus Christ. But you have to call on him. He said, call on me. He didn't say, just watch me. He didn't say, hey, don't just assume that I know him. But he said, call on me. Call. Say, call on me.
Call on
me. God said, call on me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That is why we need to pray. Because for God to intervene in our situation, it requires that we call on him. Thank you, Jesus. Remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is a verse that I think most believers should know this one. He said in chapter 7 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7, 13. He said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, you know, as a sort of people's sin, when they decide to go against the will of God or the word of God, they open up for the locust. Hello? You know the locust? The locust just invaded their farm and ate up all their plants and hunger started. And to make it worse, rain stopped falling. But God said, even if that one, if it happened, he said, if I send pestilence among my people. Now look at the turning point in verse 14. He said, if my people, say my people. If my people, which are what? Called by my name. They shall humble themselves and pray. And do what? They shall humble themselves and pray. They pray. It means that if they don't pray, the pestilence will continue.
If they don't pray, the hunger will continue. If they don't pray, the locust will continue to eat them. If they don't pray, you see, until we pray, nothing will change, sir. Wishes can never, ever, ever, it's never equivalent to what you call it. If wishes were horses, where beggars would ride. Your wish will not be carried out. Like I told us I've been repeating it again and again, especially for the past few weeks, that time doesn't change anything, really. So, you know, with time, it won't get better for nothing. It will get worse. That's the truth. Until relevant effort is put into place, nothing will change. God said, until you call on me, the pestilence will continue. Until you call on me, the suffering will continue. Until you call on me, you know pestilence? Unimaginable sickness. That will not be a portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said, if my people which are called by my name, see, they were already called by his name. They mean they are his people. They are not unbelievers. They are believers. He said, until you pray and seek my face and turn from your ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins and I will heal your land. And so when we cry and pray and say, oh, Lord, have mercy on Sweden. Let your blood wash this nation from every ungodliness. Things are working. That's the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As we conclude, let me just give us just four instances of divine intervention. Remember, we are laying the foundation for the month so that you will wake up. Because the most challenging time in people's life is not the time of challenge per se. It is the time of comfort. Come on, see, when Israel was in slavery, did they remember to worship any idol? No! They were busy calling on God. Oh God of Abraham. Oh God of Isaac. Oh God of Jacob. Oh, have mercy on us. Save us. But when they were released from the slavery, how long did it take them to start looking for idols? Very short time. So the time of comfort or time of complacency. Hallelujah. We've said it jokingly that a lot of people, before they left Africa to come to Europe, every mountain that is in the nation, they know it. They knew the place. Moving from mountain A to mountain B. Hello? There is no night vigil that is happening in their church. Even if they are sick, they will drag themselves there. Oh God! But when God became God and nothing happened, how far, brother? Be like, see my body. Hallelujah. See, it is a time of complacency. Time of comfort that complacency comes in. It played itself in the life of Israel when they were struggling, Jehovah. But once they settled in the promised land, you see that every time they cry to God, God rushed down and saved them for his name's sake. But once they start enjoying themselves again, say, is it God? Okay, later we'll talk about that. May you never become a former Christian in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your generation to come will never become a former Christian in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, what story do somebody have if he's serving God and his seeds are not serving God? Like we said yesterday, they are the arrows that we shoot in the future. If they're not believers, it means that you are terminating your lineage. I pray that everyone in your family that is yet to be saved, the light of God will shine upon them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No member of your family will end up in hell in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, let's take it with all seriousness. Hello, as you are sending money to them, tell them the gospel as well. Let them know that Oga or Auntie or Mama, what is sustaining me in this land is not the good economy. It is Jesus, and that same Jesus can do it for you, sir. And see, the good thing is that you are better placed because whoever plays the piper dictates the tune. Hello? May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, Bible said, in Exodus 3, 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by what? by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. In Exodus 6:5, he said, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. You see, the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and have remembered not my covenant. Remember, David wrote, he said, oh God, have respect unto thy covenant, because the dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. He said, have respect unto thy covenant. This world is evil. I was watching the news in U.S. Was this week. He said, a teenager, a family was visiting them. I don't know what happened to that family. They were visiting, staying with them temporarily with their child. And this girl think that, because of the visitor they had, he was not having enough time with her boyfriend. And then put poison in the baby food to kill the baby. Because he said that if I kill the baby, they will quickly leave their house. They will quickly leave our house. I saw it on the news. Imagine, a teenager. Thank God that through the exchange of, because she was exchanging SMSs with the boyfriend. And so somebody saw it and quickly alerted them before they put the person in the baby's mouth to rescue that baby. And they went to the laboratory, they tested it, it was food poison that would have killed that baby instantly. The dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. So it's not only in Africa or developing world that we have wickedness. Somebody is not even sleeping on your head. He's just managing your house temporarily. And you say, okay, you want them out so that you can have time for your boyfriend. Why can't you tell them? Say, Mama, please let the people leave. Why do you want to poison their baby? I tell you. And that's why David wrote that the dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. Oh God, have respect for thy covenant. He was praying. David was a prayer warrior. Hello? You never see somebody that is anointed, that is not given to prayer. Anointing is not saying, okay, in Jesus' name. Amen. No! You pay the price, sir. Hello? And what is the price? Prayer. And fasting. Thank you, Jesus. May you be empowered afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever devil has been pouring water on your prayer altar, I curse that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I see the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplications being released in our camp in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at the case of Judah. We're not going to read that the whole thing because of our time. But you remember, four nations, they came against this country. It basically says it came to pass that the children of Moab, the children of Amnon, and with them, others beside the Amnon came against Jehoshaphat. So you see that it was just not just one nation. You know, Judah was not even the whole Israel. It was just two tribes. Or we let's say even one and a half tribe. Hello? How can four nations come against one nation? They didn't have the military might to match them at all. But what did they do? Did they say, they have come, we die. Okay, God, take my soul. No, they cried unto God. How did they do it? The Bible said, thank you, Jesus. He said, then there came some that told Joseph, and saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Azazotama, which is in En-Gedi. And Joseph feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast through all Judah. A what? They sought the face of the Lord in prayer and fasting and say, oh God of heaven. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They prayed unto God and asked for his help. Even out of all the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You see that they prayed. And if you read it further down, when you get to it, you can read that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's a very, very powerful book, especially for spiritual battle. Especially when you are contending with enemies that are obviously bigger than you in the outward of part of it. You see that the strategies they used was highlighted there. Number one, initially, just like any other human being, they were afraid. But they conquered the fear by looking at the covenant. and then say, oh God of our father, you remember your covenant, God of Isaac, I mean God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, will you just look us alone and let these people, what, consume us? And when they pray, God gave them the strategy and said, now, you know what, if you face these people, you can't match them, but let me help you. How do we do that? Praise me now. So instead of wasting their time looking for borrowing money to buy the sword, they bought guitar and trumpet and started work and start praising him. He's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive, amen. And as we are doing that, you know what God did? God said, no, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I won't even waste my time sending angels. How many of are the enemy? Four of you. Face yourself. He started fighting each other. I said, hey, why is it that you wanted to go and fight Judah? You are stupid. I'm stupid. You are bastard. They started fighting themselves. I see confusion in the camp of your enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I see confusion in the camp of your enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Everyone that is organizing for your death shall be buried suddenly. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone that says you will not prosper in your career, he will become a beggar. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone that says you will scatter your home, he will not live to see the next day. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, our God is a God of vengeance. Hello? That's the truth. He's a God of vengeance. Don't say, okay, you are religious. Okay, oh, you know, pray for my enemy. Which kind of prayer? There is time to pray according to instructions. Judah did not pray for the enemy here. They pray for divine intervention. Say, my God, help me. I remember there was a time I was going to the embassy when I was supposed to come here first, and there was a guy that was just disturbing me then. I had all the documents to be submitted to the person that they said I should go and give it to. And he would look at it and say, no, it's not complete. Go back. Ah, God, you must do something. They sent him on holiday fast. Hello? He quickly went on holiday. And they put the driver as the receptionist. You know, the driver doesn't know the difference. I just took through the document there. He said, hey, who do you want to see? I said, so. Oh, thank you. Collect it and give it. When do you want to come and collect your visa? No interview, nothing. They didn't even check anything that I put there. Hello? I see God surprising you this week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So every time you are confronted with a battle that looks as if it's bigger than you, hand it over to God. Hand it over to God. And a very good reference, what we want to talk about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's so easy to remember. 2 Chronicles 20. That is 2 Chronicles 2:0. Hallelujah. Remember the decision of Jesus. Because somebody may say, okay, but that is the children of Israel. But even Jesus called upon God. If Jesus would need help from heaven, who are you that you think that you say, okay, I am all in all? That must be self-deception. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 47, he said, and while he yet spake, lo, Jesus, one of the 12, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came and with him a great multitude with sword and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. You remember when they wanted to arrest him? He said, now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. You know what he's trying to betray him. He said, and forthwith, he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore have thou come? Then came they and laid hand on Jesus. Every enemy that is hiding as your friend, God of heaven, we expose them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, Jesus was hiding. He was an enemy, but he was still in the camp and pretending. Everyone that is pretending as if they love you, that the devil wants to use to drag you to the pit, God of heaven, we expose them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. He said, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his head. So, when they came to arrest him, because of the zeal of the people around him, one of them came with the sword and pam, and he cut off the ear of one of the people that came to arrest him. But how did Jesus react? He said, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy son into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. He said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So he was telling them that, if I want to be rescued from here, I won't depend on you. How many of you? Maybe the inner core, there were 12, isn't it? Even let's say there are 1,000. Can 1,000 people handle Roman soldiers? Hello? Remember what happened? What they call the Python dance in our place. Everybody too crazy when it's all gone. And nobody wants to stay. Everybody says, stop stupid grammar. You don't play with gun. Hello? You know, remember that they said, no one argue with the man that is holding one. They go, don't argue with them. Okay, yes, sir. Mugbo. Temporarily, we'll negotiate later, but now, Mugbo. Hello? Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, no, that's not the issue. He said, if I want to rescue myself from here, I won't rely on you. I will pray to heaven. So Jesus knew he needed to pray to heaven if he needed help. Hello? So if Jesus will have a need to pray to heaven for reinforcement, who are you to say, by pride, I say, oh God, what is God? You know, I like this one, the way Yoruba put it, that you pray like somebody whose hand is trapped in a door. You know, if you are sitting in a door, in the door of a car, and you put your hand down, somebody jam the door, bam. Do you speak grammar? No! You don't speak Queen English at that time. Which Queen English? your real accent, if you are from Edo, if you come out, no boy, save me, oh. Hallelujah. You won't speak grammar. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that is what the lawyers use. They want to provoke people in the court. They will be saying things that will make you angry. And once you are angry, you forget your Queen English. You begin to say the truth. Hello? So, when people are in that situation, you pray to God, sir. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Start to take the communion. Let me just give us one more example. Remember the early church? When they were told not to preach, though, they healed somebody. They didn't even beat anybody. They healed somebody. And these religious people, the authority said, look at you. You must be wicked. You are ungodly. We kill your master. And you are still soldering something. You say, okay, on whose name did you heal this person? Say, in the name of Jesus. Okay, we don't want to do. Never in your life pray in that name anymore. And what did they do? They went back to their closets and pray and say, oh God. Let's look at it. Acts chapter. Thank you, Jesus. In Acts chapter 4. You know, it's good to write those things down so that if you are building your personal prayer life, you know, the fastest way to get answers to your prayer is to pray according to the scripture. Say, Lord, but it is written. You know, that was the secret of David. David said, oh God, this uncircumcised Philistines is like a dog. No, you can't be bragging about your name. Remember your covenant. And God said, I already made a covenant with Abraham that I will bless him and all his children. And I said, whosoever curse him, I will curse. Whosoever bless him, I will bless. And so, because this uncircumcised Philistine called Goliath is causing the one that I've blessed, I must react. Hello? So, learn to use that one. Say, oh God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, remember your word, for it is written. Whosoever seek your face, pray it according to the way it's relevant to your situation. That it is written. That he took our stripe. That by our stripes, I am healed. Lord, remember when you were walking on the street that day in Golgotha, how your back was plowed, and therefore this blood disease must not continue. This bone disease must not continue. You already paid the price. Show me the way, Lord. And it will come on. Hello? Please learn to pray with the scripture, sir. In the book of Acts, Bible said in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, he said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, after they were told that they shouldn't pray in the name of Jesus, he said, whether it be right in your sight, in the sight of God, to hearken unto you more than unto God.
He said, you to judge. When you say you do not pray in the name of Jesus anymore. He said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. Verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for what which was done. See, now, Bible said, if we jump to verse 24, and said, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Then stand up. You see, they prayed according to the word. See, you are God. See, every time you call his name, that name must respond. You know, it's natural. If somebody didn't even know you before, and your phone ring, grand, but the first thing he mentioned was your name. Even if before you abuse him, you will listen first. Everything is bound to respond to his name. Hello? And so, Jesus will also respond to his name. That's why he said, do not call his name in vain. Don't use it to play. Don't use his name to play Ludo. No. Respect his name. Understand the power that is his name. Because that name is an anointed name. You know, when you take your air freshener and you pray, what? It releases what is the content. So when you call the name of Jesus, the anointing on that name is released. Hello? So that name is not just a punctuation mark to end your prayer. No, it is what we seal the deal. Let's begin to give him praise and exalt him. Let's magnify him. Let's lift him high. Let's bless his holy name. Him alone is worthy to be praised. Him alone is worthy to be exalted. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Magnify his name. Lift him up. Lift him up. Exalt his name. Magnify his name. The name of Jesus is higher than every other name. That name is higher than every other name. Let's thank him for the availability of the name and the right to use that name. Let's exalt him. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're not going to read that one because of our time, but let me just mention it so that you will know where it is. In Matthew chapter 26, you know, Jesus, before he was arrested, before the trouble came, what did he do? He took communion. Hello? Because you know, Yoruba say, Oju pipo ko ran siga. Hello? You cannot say, okay, because you are ordinary and face the tribulation of this world. No. You need the power of the Most High. There is a level to which your ordinary power can handle. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 6:26, yeah, he said, and they, I said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So he gave them communion. And if you read further down, you will discover that in verse 36, Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them up into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciple, he said, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder, or in that place. And so he took the communion to be empowered for a successful prayer life. He said, and he took with him Peter and his two sons, and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto them. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You remember that when he came back, what were they doing? They were sleeping. If you are familiar with the calendar of Israel, in fact, the time we celebrate Easter is the time is the real time when Jesus was killed. Even here, the weather of April, can you sleep outside? Yesterday, what was the temperature of Megiddo outside in the night?
+8.
Can you sleep outside when it's +8? No. By the time the wind of cold blows on your head, you wake up fast. These guys were sleeping. That is to tell you that there were some forces at work. Hello? So, as you partake of the communion today, I want you to receive fresh order of divine strength for fresh fire on your altar in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you partake of this communion, whatsoever is making you to skip prayer and keep on postponing it, you will be delivered from it today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus prayed, he prevailed. You will prevail in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The early apostles, they prayed and they prevailed. You will prevail in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As from today, they will have to beg you before you pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, no matter how angry a fly may be, he cannot go and enter a hot amala. Otherwise, he will become the meat. He will join the meat to become another meat. So if you are hot, if your altar is burning, the devil know. Do you remember that he said, thank you, Jesus. Please put that one on check. Hallelujah to Jesus. They were talking about some son of Sceva. They went, they said, okay, Paul has been casting out demons. Is it not just to speak? And so they said, oh, we can do it too. And they saw some demon possessed people. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, you demon, go out. What did the demon do? Ah, the Bible said they seized them. He beat hell out of them. Because there was no fire. You know, if you see your halogen bomb, halogen is bright, isn't it? Is it hot? Hello? You know, fluorescent is bright, but it's not hot. But there are some bulb. If any insect come near it, it is bright and hot. That's the plan of God for you. To be bright, to be shining and hot. If you shine and you are not hot, fly will come and play disco in your life. Receive fresh baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you partake of this communion, as from today, every devil that has been trying to hang around you will be roasted with the Holy Ghost fire in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you show up next time in your family house, every demon will bow down before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When next you show up in your working place, everyone that has been trying to resist you will bow down before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the mystery of this communion, every sickness, every weakness in your system is hereby consumed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your blood system. I say, walk properly in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your heart. I say, receive strength in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your kidney. I say, receive strength in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your liver. I say, receive strength in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your womb. I say, receive the order of life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your career. I say, receive the order of life through Jesus Christ in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to your mind as well. Because the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of what? Power. The spirit of what? Love and of sound mind. When your mind is troubled, you can't think right. I was sharing with people yesterday. I said, when I had issue with my bicycle, I couldn't think right. I was supposed to do something very simple. Just put the bicycle in the train and go where I was supposed to go. 1 hour, I was still perambulating. So when your mind is not settled, you can't think right. But as from today, everything that is troubling your mind, I decree peace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything that will not make you to think straight, to take quality decision, that will take you to the next level, I decree your deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.